webcasting to the world.
Do you remember the moment you saw yourself in God and God in you, and you were one with the universe and God and everybody?
Knowing the truth about the gospel.
You were one with the prostitutes and pimps and priests and kings, and there was nobody on earth that was better than you nor less than you.
That we are all righteous.
And no one on earth was any less in Christ than anyone else.
That's Mike Williams, and this is the Gospel Revolution.
Welcome to the Gospel Revolution Powercast for the 30th of July 2015, broadcasting from the home of redemptionism, where we love every train of thought leaving the station of freedom. We're coming to you from the GR Studios right here in Nashville, Tennessee, where we say religion wants to upsize your expectations, outsource your thinking, and repurpose your existence. But God's eternal plan was just to enjoy the heck out of you and all of your uniqueness. And here from Houston, Texas, is that great unteacher, the founder and president of the Gospel Revolution, Michael Williams. G'day, Mike. How are you?
G'day, mate. I am doing wonderful here in Houston. We're beginning to turn the bake on. still not too terribly bad. I think we're just above 95 degrees or so. So, yeah, summer is on, and Calgary is just behind us. And I'm trying to remember what it felt like to fly in there at 60 degrees when I landed.
Hey, what's wrong with your voice?
Yes, I have just a little scratchiness in my voice.
Well, that's not what you told me when I called you about an hour ago.
I was still in bed when you called an hour ago.
Well, I don't know about that, but here's what you told me an hour ago. You said this.
Well, I woke up this morning feeling fine. I woke up with heaven on my mind. I woke up with joy in my soul. Cause I knew my Lord had control.
When really?
I knew I was walking in the light. Cause I've been on my knees.
Did you spend your night on the knees?
And I prayed till the Lord gave a sign. And now I'm feeling mighty fine.
Is that what you did? Do you spend all the night on your knees?
All night. They call me old camel knees, you know.
And that's why you know the Lord's in control.
That's the only reason he would be, is if I pray. Now, because I was on my knees all night, I knew the sun was going to come up. And boy, when the sun came up, you talk about joy that filled my soul, because I knew prayer works.
And the Lord was in control. Praise Jesus.
Yes, but he was in control because I was in control of him.
You were in control of him?
Oh, I didn't mean to say it that way. That's just, I think that's the way it comes across, though.
Can I get an amen? Yeah.
Well, yes, apparently we can get an amen from Mike Williams. Hey, listen, Mike, this week we had a story from Florida. I don't know what to say to this story, so I'm just going to... By the way, I sent you a running sheet. You should have it. Do you mean you haven't really looked at it yet? Is that what you're telling me?
I didn't tell you anything, Bartlett.
Hey, Jeff. Jeff Robertson, you there? By the time you hear this, and by the time you ring me back and say, hey, listen, maybe we should change this or change... See, because family, Jeff is the one who edits this show. And thank God someone does, because heavens knows if everything I said went to air, that would be But Jeff, you do realize, of course, by the time this reaches you, I've gone through this kind of stuff. I mean, I've had to suffer through a couple of hours of this. I mean, he didn't even look up the running sheet.
I had to go to McDonald's. Leave me alone.
McDonald's in your office, in your car, or even your neighborhood bar. You can listen with your whole family.
This week, Michael, we had a story from Florida, and I think the best thing I could possibly do is just Well, I'll just play you their local TV station, and they bring us a story.
Right now, some members of a Tampa church are telling us they are fed up because their church is sending them collection notices. And as ABC Action News reporter Cameron Polam tells us, they're venting that anger in a very public way on the church's Facebook page.
People was very friendly there, you know, and I really enjoy being there.
Candace Peterson says finding the Greater Mount Moriah Primitive Baptist Church was a blessing. The single mother had been looking for a church closer to her new home, and 6 months in, things were going perfect. That is until this letter arrived at her home late last week.
To be a member in good standing and have the right to vote, adults are to contribute the minimum amount of $50 per month.
It was from the church saying she was delinquent in her financial support.
$50 per month. Now, this shocked me because I haven't heard about the $50 per month. So where did you get this from? Then Mount Moriah Day is on there, $150.
The letter also says Peterson would be responsible for a church anniversary fee of $250, a total of $1,000 in required donations per year. Peterson says she was told the fees help pay off church debt.
What church charged you to, you know, help pay off what they're going through? I'm not there for that.
And many seem to be agreeing with Peterson, taking to the church's Facebook page to voice their concerns. A church administrator acknowledged the letter came from them. They also told us the pastor was unavailable. We still left several messages and have not heard back. In the meantime, Peterson is searching for a new church.
It's like you put me like, oh, if you want to be a member of this church, you need to pay this.
Or if you want to find God.
Yeah, if you want to find God. That don't say anything about that in the Bible.
And again, that was our Cameron Polam reporting. Peterson, meanwhile, says she has no plans to reach out to the church, and the pastor still has not responded to our calls.
Now, there's a couple of things here which interest me, Michael. I know there's a dozen things which interest you, but one is, the pastor has not returned our calls.
Where's the pastor? Yeah.
I mean, what if I wanted to meet Jesus?
Well, I think he probably is already fairly well persuaded Jesus isn't anywhere around anyway. So.
What do you make of that story in all, mate?
Well, it certainly is not shocking. The thing that we've learned over the years is that, you know, these situations certainly are not shocking anymore. When it comes to what pastors and leaders of congregations are willing to say to people to get money out of them, it really is quite amazing. And I, of course, my big contribution to that 20 years ago was when I'd done all the research that I could on tithing and came to the conclusion that tithing had nothing to do with the New Testament whatsoever, that tithing had nothing to do with money, and that Jesus was the tithe, then that the tithe was fulfilled in Christ. So I got disinvited to a lot of places when I got that revelation. My goodness. Oh, yeah, I know. You and I could probably sit here and tell stories for the rest of this PowerCast and several to come of the lines and statements that have been used about giving. I remember Dwight Thompson in a meeting I was in with Norval Hayes got up and he took the verses, "Will a man rob God?" Concerning tithing, and then went to the New Testament list as the people that wouldn't make it to heaven. So he identified people that didn't tithe as thieves, and then went to the New Testament and identified thieves as the people who wouldn't get into the kingdom. And so he then said, if you die and you're not current on your tithe, you'll go to hell. So, we've got everything from you can't have a church social with us to if you die without your tithes properly caught up, then you're going to die and go to hell. So I love the state of Florida. There's many things that come out of Florida. But there's a lot of wacky things that come out of Florida. Some of our best friends our wackiest friends come out of Florida, actually.
Did you know what state in the USA is the largest importer of prune juice?
I'm going to take a wild guess here and say Minnesota.
Yeah, Michael Blanche, you heard that, didn't you? I think in your words, it's the great state of Minnesota. Nope, it's Florida. Apparently, you can't start a day without your hot prune juice, mate.
Well, the people of this congregation, you know, it really, of course, the thing this reveals is that the heart of these organizations. This is a primitive Baptist.
Oh, that makes all the difference. They're primitive. This whole thing is absolutely sick. Sending collection letters. I mean, just think, listen very carefully, family. This church, and let's be honest about it, this is only the beginning. I'll guarantee in 10 years' time, this will be maybe a mainline practice. Sending collection letters to collect what you should have paid for the yearly anniversary and $50 a week. I mean, how Jesus said, freely you have received, freely give. Where the hell?
Have you ever gotten one?
I haven't gotten a collection letter. I was amazed when I got to America and they sent me letters saying, you gave this much and that's for your tax. And I'm going, really? You give on the basis of what you can get back from your tax?
I got one.
A collection letter?
I did.
Okay, I want to hear this story. This has got to be better than anything else I've got.
I was in a meeting of Jews for Jesus. And Mike Evans, which I think Mike is still out running around, and he did this. You know, we got the videos of Israel. Of course, we watched a video clip of Israel, and you know, the limestone is being cut out of Bedford, Indiana, right now for the new temple. And oh my goodness, we were just inundated with information. And the need for money to, I think it was specifically for the rebuilding of the temple, and because that was signifying, you know, Christ coming back.
Did they have the red heifer already?
They talked about the red heifer. I'm not sure.
Mate, I knew a red heifer once. My word, she was something.
So, moving right along. He made it very clear. He said, now, we're not asking you to give something you don't have. He said, but we so believe that God wants this done. He said, we want everyone here to pledge $1,000. Now, if the $1,000 doesn't come in to your pocket, then we do not expect you to pay the $1,000. But we want you to make the pledge because we believe God will give you the $1,000.
Oh, that's
pledge. It's a good one, isn't it?
It is, because everyone's going to get $1,000 if they're working at a job.
Yes, exactly. So, you know, I left that meeting that day and, of course, was on their mailing list and kept getting different things. And then I got this really nasty letter from them. I mean, it was a nasty letter. And telling me that I'd made a pledge and a commitment to God, and that if I did not fulfill my pledge, then all the things that they said could possibly happen if I didn't pay it. I wrote them back and I told them, I said, you know, this is not what you said about the pledge. You said if the money come in, then that meant you were correct about God wanting this done. I said, I have not had an extra $1,000 to come in. And
what did they say?
And I just told them, I said, I will not be sending you $1,000. And that was one of my first real dawnings in my mind, that people could be so manipulative about money, and that it could all be about money in Christianity. And of course, Jews for Jesus, my goodness, if you had a Jew that believed in Jesus, I mean, this was a far superior Christian. you know, in our eyes, at least with the way that we were taught. And of course, you know, Glenn Klein is our far superior Christian in the Gospel Revolution.
That's what I'm talking about.
And he enjoys that position too. So.
You know, I've only got one thing to say. Some months ago, we aired a story about a lady whose mother could not get, in her words, funeralized.
Oh, I remember. Yeah.
Remember that story? Because she had not paid her tithes. So I'm just going to finish this story out with her comments.
All they care about is getting money, 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 money. Even retail stores give people more respect than that. I don't understand why we've become so commercialized with religion. What does this have to do with God?
That about says it all, really, doesn't it?
Amen, sister.
Yeah, preach it, sister. Michael, this is a pledge month.
It is indeed.
What's happening, boss?
People are pledging.
Well, thank heavens for that. I can live another month.
Indeed we can. And we appreciate what everyone is doing. Thank you guys so very much. We appreciate Jeff, especially. We always appreciate Jeff, but during this time, we especially appreciate Jeff.
Mm-hmm.
He has not turned into an alcoholic from Pledge Drive. I always wonder how in the world he keeps from it doing it, because
where did that come from?
If I had to do what he does, I'd just drink. I think I'd just start drinking. So
maybe we should just send him a case of good stuff.
No.
Some of that Napa Valley wine, you know?
I think he's doing fine without it. But thanks, Jeff, and thanks to all the Gospel Revolutionaries. We appreciate what you're doing. We do want to come up on the end of this month debt-free, and we had another time about 3 years ago that we were able to get the ministry out of debt, maybe 4 years ago. And we just had several people of our best donors, as far as the size of the gift that they were giving, had to drop out. And some of them were giving so much, we knew that they just could not sustain that.
And some of them came back too.
And some of them came back too. We've got contributors from around the world, and the ones that came back, and they were just very honest with us and let us know, we just cannot sustain this, but we're going to stop, and then we'll let you know what we can do. And they've done that, but it put us in a whole different world financially. It happened to several of our contributors. So if you have it in your heart to support the Gospel Revolution, we can always, always promise you that your funds will be going to sharing this gospel with people around this planet and bringing this incredible freedom to other lives, as it has to you. If it hasn't happened to you, we're not asking for your money. But if it has happened to you, and you know how valuable this is to other people's lives, then we're asking you to help us to continue this.
Oh, that's so true. If you have learned from this PowerCast, if you have learned from Mike Williams Ministries, would you please consider contributing towards the forward progress of other people in their journey?
Yes.
That's what this is all about.
But Jeff does know who all has contributed. Now, remember, the names that you're going to hear are not everyone who gives into the Gospel Revolution. These are the names of the people who have either increased their monthly contribution or made a donation explicitly for this pledge drive. So we do have more. They always, always get mentioned somewhere along the line. Just because they're not mentioned in this one doesn't mean that they are not appreciated.
I don't get mentioned.
Because you don't give anything.
I just told you I gave $5 today.
Then you will be in the list.
Well, we will just see about that. Because my generous, huge $5 donation.
Hey,
Hey, if we had everybody just to check to see if it works like you did and do $5, not because you wanted to support the gospel, you just wanted to see if it worked. Hey, folks, go on and just see if it works. And even better, let us fill in the blanks.
Yeah, send empty checks. Just send empty checks. We'll take care of the rest.
We'll pray over them and see how much God tells us to.
All right, thank you, guys. We are in our last week, and I have several names here I want to mention because we are grateful for what they've done on this pledge drive. I do want to remind everybody who's listening, no, this is not over. You've got through the weekend, and anybody, whoever wants to start a monthly pledge, you can start one with me anytime. It doesn't have to be on a pledge drive. And don't forget, you can donate anytime on gospelrevolution.com. Just go to gospelrevolution.com, click the little donate button in the upper left corner, and you can donate from there. So why don't we just start off with the lovely Deidre Simpson in Kelowna, British Columbia, Phyllis Schultz in Vernon, British Columbia, Robert Collier in Longview, Texas, John Newbigging in Edinburgh, Scotland, Mike and Joyce Camelotis in Mesa, Arizona, Pat Washburn in Marshfield, Wisconsin, Cookie Davy Duck in Castor, Alberta, Billy Thompson in Wichita City, Arizona, Dale Van Sickle in Lady Lake, Florida, Bob Hines in McDonough, Georgia, Tom Tonsky in Canton, Ohio, Brad and Holly Wilson in Queen Creek, Arizona, Danny Miniscanians in Studio City, California, Michael Bond in Marietta, Georgia, Donald Wynn in Wasilla, Alaska, last known location there, Donald, please get in touch with me, and Tim and Beth Knappenberger in Canton, Ohio, Paul Diggers in New Milton, Hampshire, United Kingdom, Paul Havard in Cheltenham, Gloucestershire, also United Kingdom, Pastor Ted Winslet in Decatur, Alabama, Walter Wilson in Selma, Alabama, Jan Heller in Mount Horeb, Wisconsin, Pastor Pat Winslet in Decatur, Alabama, Patty Holzclaw in Lexington, Kentucky, Steve Davis in Torrance, California, Dwayne and Ruth Daku in Saskatoon, Saskatchewan, Bill and Jeannie Schultz in Pollock Pines, California, Bud and Ruth Ramsey in Park River, North Dakota, Anonymous in Edmonton, Alberta, Carrie and Rita Waitman in Whitehall, Montana, Alan Davis in Chipley, Florida, Tom and Linda Wilby in Fredericton, New Brunswick, Arthur Wirtz in Brandon, Manitoba, Bernie Rouse in Cadillac, Michigan, Betty Cochran in Atoka, Oklahoma, Muriel Alexandrowski in North Palm Beach, Florida, Yvonne DeClean in Waterford, Wisconsin, Helen Gwinnett in St. Alberta, Canada, Anonymous in Kalamazoo, Michigan. And once again, like I said, this is not over. Give me a call, and it's back to you guys.
Our next story comes from the Mennonite community. Mennonites apologize for a history of sex abuse following theologian John Howard Yoder scandal. A lifelong Mennonite who died in 1997, Yoder was one of the greatest theologians of the 20th century. Many of his books remain in print, including the classic The Politics of Jesus, first published in 72 and called one of the 10 best books of the 20th century by Christianity Today. Now, this was a man who preached pacifism. Only problem was he rather enjoyed making inappropriate advances to female students. And now they are figuring, should he or should he not be included in the general saints of the Mennonite order? Now, Mennonites, like Amish and Hutterites and German Brethren, are a modern evolution of the Anabaptists of the 16th century. And they are, one thing they're known for is for being very straight about their religion. But this guy, apparently, well, we're not sure whether we can accept his teachings anymore. Could it be that a rusty pipe can deliver fine water? Or should it be that he should be just relegated to the background of Christian history? Look, we have sex stories on this program so much that, frankly, it's time that we... Well, all I know to say is this. Why did it take close to two decades for the Mennonites to wonder whether this man was worthy of a place in their history or not? Now, this is not about sex. This is about how we deal with our embarrassing leaders.
And, of course, the issue comes down to where do you get your righteousness from? Who lives a life, if you equate morality and spirituality, whose morality is good enough to convey the spirituality of God?
Say that again, please.
Whose morality is good enough to convey the spirituality of God?
Mm.
These guys get taught that God can only use a morally good man.
Well, actually, more than that, they say a pure person.
A pure person, a righteous person. But now when they do that, they're talking about his righteousness and that God will only use you, the Spirit of God can only use you if your pipes aren't rusty. So that if you are morally pure. I remember this happening to me, Barris, back many, many, many years ago. I was taught, of course, that the only way that God could use me is if I was pure and holy.
Mm.
I was 20 years old when I met Norval Hayes the first time. It was actually the night before my 21st birthday. Norval was in his early 40s. Norval is now 87 years old. I went to Norval and told him the very next day after he delivered me, quote, from perversion and cast the devils out of me. I went to him the very next day and let him know it did not work. And I was rebuked.
How did you know it didn't work?
I still had the same thoughts and feelings. And I still wanted the same things. And I got rebuked. This is when I was introduced into the confession of the whole thing. And I had to confess it. I had to say it. That saying it is receiving it. And if I had a bad confession, then it wouldn't happen.
What was a bad confession? Was that when
you told the truth?
Okay.
Telling the truth is a bad confession.
So it's not when it doesn't work. It's just, okay.
Yeah, you just can't, God said, if Norval prayed for me, I'd be delivered. Therefore, it did happen. So we couldn't doubt. So if the doubt is placed on the individual, you deal with the individual's doubts. The only way you deal with the individual's doubt is that the individual has to keep saying that what Norval did worked. And so I learned then to be a good Christian liar. But I still was taught that for God to anoint me, the proof of this was going to be that when I got up and shared the story, that God himself was going to inspire and God was going to be there. I remember going to Norval and telling him, no, not tonight. Don't, whatever you do, because I knew I'd been by the bookstore. I knew I had looked at the books that I shouldn't be looking at just within the hour before.
Do you still do that?
No need to go to a bookstore anymore. So.
Okay. Oh, so. Shut up, Barris.
You can't avoid this stuff now if you try. But anyway, and no, it's no longer a compulsion for me. It really is an amazing thing to get to experience in your life.
Oh, so Norval's prayer did work.
It worked after I got away from Norval's prayer, yes.
Okay.
But so here I was. I told him, you know, Norval, of all the times, please don't call on me tonight.
Not tonight. Not tonight after I went to the bookstore.
Not tonight. And then, of course, Norval started singing back to me, oh, why not tonight? And I couldn't tell him why. So, sure enough, he called on me. I got up in fear and trembling that I was in sin and had to share this story. But you know what, Bears? I shared the story. The glory came down. People responded. It was incredible. But, see, people wonder why people like Jimmy Swaggart get into the situations they're in and all of these ministers, because, you see, they're told that God can't use them unless they are pure and holy. Then they know in their own head they've just been, quote, to the bookstore or whatever, and they have these glorious meetings. Well, your brain then tries to sort that out as to the logic of that. Well, that has to mean if God still uses me, I'm either the exception that God needs me so bad that he is using me regardless of this, either that or God doesn't see what I did as wrong in the first place. So this culture of spiritual lying begins.
Well, based on what you just said, the first person you're lying to is yourself.
Well, actually, you're being honest. I was being honest with Norval. Then I was told not to tell the truth. Don't you dare tell the truth.
But then when God apparently works through you, you're under the spout where the glory comes out and all of that, then your mind has to tell you, well, God accepts it.
Couldn't be all that bad.
Mm-hmm.
So then that's where the obsessive compulsive behavior begins then. I'm telling you, when there is something that causes an addiction to set in, when you are told God will not use you under these circumstances.
Addiction to what?
To whatever it is. It becomes greater. It becomes bigger.
Visiting the bookstore becomes even harder. Worse.
Exactly. Uh-huh. It becomes something that is more obsessive than it was at any other time.
So when Jimmy Swaggart was having all of this glory come down on him, people coming out and giving their lives to Jesus and wonderful meetings, and he was doing
prostitutes at the same time.
That
didn't just start overnight. He didn't just, Lord, I've sinned against thee. This was a lifelong pattern for Jimmy Swaggart. See, these things build up over years when the conscience is trying to deal with information and reality. The information is that I must be holy, I must be pure, I must be this, or God's not going to use me. Then you get in a Pentecostal service, and God could use a barking dog in some of those atmospheres, the way that it's worked up.
And has.
Actually, has used barking dogs.
He certainly uses snakes in East Tennessee.
No doubt. The progression of this is really insidious. It really is. It really is quite amazing. I remember Norval Hayes. I remember testing it though. Norval Hayes stood up and said these words in the New Life Bible School where I was teaching at the time. Also, of which Jeff Robertson was a student there at the time. And Norval is up teaching, and he says, you can't just go out to the mall and shop all day and go out and just do worldly things and then come home and throw a suit on and get up, be anointed by God. You got to pray. You got to study. You got to meditate. Well, my parents almost stopped buying me toys as a child because if it worked, I had to find out why. I dismantled every toy I had. this has been really a part of my life. I have to know if something is true or not. I can hear things and something happens inside me that says, I wonder if that's true. It led to me jumping out of the top of a tree. I'll let you fill in the story on that.
Oh, boy.
So this has been my default personality all the way through, folks. Norval made this statement, and I remember sitting there and him saying, you can't just go to the mall all day and then throw on a suit and then God show up at the service. And I thought, really? And so I had to speak the next day, and guess what I did?
I don't even want to know.
I went to the mall. I not only did that, I went by Shoney's and got a piece of hot fudge cake.
Oh.
My favorite dessert in the world.
And then you tried to just slap on a suit.
And then I went home with my tummy bulging with hot fudge cake so much I could hardly put my suit pants on. And I threw my suit on, and I sat in the green room in the back and waited for them to introduce me. And I went out, and hands down, it was probably one of the best messages I've ever done in my life. If God uses you and you just told a lie, that means the lie is okay. And with Norval, I mean, that's the thing that happened, is that every time Norval got up and talked about a story, the story got bigger, it got better, it got more severe, it got more, the transition was greater. I never will forget meeting Norval's pastor. Norval called him his pastor, Dr. Littlefield, who was pastor of a little Pentecostal church there in Cleveland, Tennessee. I was, of course, mesmerized. I was meeting not just Norval Hayes. I was meeting Norval Hayes' pastor. I couldn't even imagine the spiritual prowess this man must have to be the pastor of Norval Hayes. In other words, greater than Norval Hayes, in my mind. And if you could be Norval Hayes' pastor, you had to be just the best. And I remember being so in awe. He's a little guy, sweet little old fellow. And I was at a loss for words. How do I even talk to this man? But he was so sweet and so kind. And I asked him, I said, Brother Littlefield, I said, can you tell me how long you have known Norval? And Brother Littlefield responded and said, he got this big smile on his face. I've known Norval so long. I knew Norval back when Zona, Norval's daughter, when Zona's cancers used to be warts.
Oh, boy.
Now, that's his pastor.
Oh.
That is his pastor. And of course, that's how Norval's stories evolved. Zona started out with warts that supposedly got suddenly disappeared off her body.
Oh, boy.
But because if that story worked, then, you know, warts isn't a big deal. So the next thing you knew, Norval was telling everybody that Zona had cancers growing all over her body. And so that's when Brother Littlefield walked up to me. I think Brother Littlefield was saying, watch your step, young man. Watch your step. I was 21 years old.
Gospel Revolution.
This week, we heard from Paul Vigors over in the UK, and he said this. It sounds, hi Barris, it sounds like you had a great time in Calgary. I can't wait to download the recordings when they're available. I have a suggestion for the podcast regarding donations. Would it be an idea to mention on the podcast that donations can be made via the website also, as well as phoning Jeff? I make my donations this way as I live in the UK. Thanks for all you do, Jeff and Mike. Regards, Paul Vigors.
Our buddy Paul, yes. Yeah. Well, thank you, Paul, very much. And it is true. I went on our website because I was on the phone with someone who wanted to make a contribution and do it on the website. And I guess right here online is as good a place to bring it up because I've completely forgot about it. Our donation selections is not really user friendly. You have to really look for, I think it's somewhere down the left side. You have to really go looking for it. We not only don't bug you for money, we make it difficult for you to find a way to get it to us. But click on there, and from there, it's extremely easy. You can donate through PayPal, and you can either donate from another PayPal account, or you can donate directly from a credit card or from a debit card, bank account, anything that you want. So you don't have to call us. You don't have to call Jeff. Your donation shows up and with your name, and we'll be able to give you a tax-deductible receipt at the end of the year, regardless of how you do it. But, Paul, it is true. You can go online without making a long-distance call. Anybody anywhere in the world can make a contribution in this way.
Well, I went on this morning just to see what would happen and where to find this donations button, and I found two. One was exactly the one that you just said, Michael, and the second one was actually at the top of the page. I mean, you've got to look for it. There's no question about it. If it was a bag of candy, you'd miss it. Up on the very top, just under the world, and who has been messing with this web page? I'm going to shut up here, but this has to be one of – look, if you look at our webpage and decide, my word, that's a very old-looking webpage, what we're trying to instill in you is how long we've been around. We've been around so long that most of our links don't work, and look, if you feel in any way moved to donate money towards the building of a new website, we've had several attempts. We've had people who've tried to make this happen, and it wasn't quite up to snuff. And we've had other people who've started and disappeared. And right now we have somebody who, if we can raise the right amount of shekels, will probably do a good job. But go up to the top left-hand corner, under Invite Mike, which is just under the world. You look at donations, click on that. And so I donated $5 this morning, mate, just to see if it actually worked. And sure enough, it fleeced my PayPal account for just the right amount.
Well, yeah, most of our links are so old they have to use canes and walkers to get you there, but they'll get you there.
Yeah, I'm not going to say another word there. Thank you, Paul. Thank you very much. That was good input. And listen at the end of the show, and you will hear us make a change.
Gospel Revolution.
This week I cut a very big article out, and I just wanted to bring this up because when we were in Calgary, we touched on the two views of the good news, and we traced some of the heritage of orthodoxy and heterodoxy, as we know it. And essentially, what you have is this. Orthodoxy is that belief system which is embraced by the majority. Let me remind you that at one stage, communism was the fastest growing political mindset out there. Communism was far outpacing any other kind of political mindset, and so the number of people following any system of thought is by no means a measure of the quality of that thought. Remember that Christianity did not grow by the quality of its morals; it grew by the quantity of its bloodletting. That's orthodoxy for us. And the big thing about orthodoxy is, once you have most of the people agreeing with you that you're the right way to go, then you can unilaterally declare anything else other than yourself as heresy or heterodoxy. This was, I got this from the blog of John Pavlovitz, and it was very well written, and I'm going to read a fair bit of it because I want you to understand how orthodoxy treats those who question anything. The continued crucifying of Rob Bell and what it says about the state of modern Christianity is a title. It's often been said that we Christians eat our own. In fact, a popular saying that I discovered years ago was that the Christian army is the only army that actually shoots its wounded. For a people whose go-to ideas are love for God and love for others, we Jesus folk are often pretty horrible towards one another, especially to those of us who attain any sort of position in the larger culture. Oh, sure, we root like crazy for them to reach the masses on their way up, but once they do, well, we will as willingly and passionately go about the work of ripping them from their lofty positions, discrediting them, ridiculing them, shaming them, and shunning them in the process. Now, it goes on to talk about Rob Bell, who wrote a book called Love Wins. And in that book, he raised a lot of questions about hell. Now, Jeff Mercer spoke to me at the time about this, and he got me the audio book, and he asked me my opinion, and I said, well, all I'm seeing here in this book, audio book by Rob Bell, all I'm seeing is questions. That's all I'm seeing. I'm not seeing statements. I'm not seeing doctrinal positions. I'm not seeing anything except questions. What Rob Bell is doing here is he's asking questions that any ordinary thinking person should ask. But what did Christianity as a whole do? This man who'd built a church and a multiple thousands of followers as a thinking person, he was a bit of a geek, actually. He started his church by doing a verse-by-verse contextual study of the book of Leviticus. Now, if you can say that you can beat that, well, good luck to you. But this... Is that something, mate?
That's amazing, yeah.
So... For maybe a decade, it was a Christian bubble love fest, and then something happened. He sinned. He didn't have sex with his secretary. He didn't have a moral lapse of any kind. He just wrote this book. It was simply that he did not stick to the script. He deviated. He dared to ask questions. He challenged the status quo. One thing you'll find about the status quo is it does not like to be questioned. And if you question it, it will put you down faster than a mangy dog. In our modern evangelical Christian subculture, it's simply something we don't tolerate. And it wasn't long before Rob Bell was being crucified by his peers. Now, they expected to shove him to the side and he'd disappear, but he didn't. What he did was he was picked up by Oprah. Oprah wanted to understand what was it that drove this man to have the most positive outlook on a God who possibly might just include everybody in his unconditional love. Have you ever spoken to a Christian about unconditional love? I'll tell you what they say. Yes, God loves you unconditionally on condition that you fill in the blank. You believe. You do right. You always sing out of the red hymn book. Whatever the hell it is, it's always unconditional with just this one condition. So it turns out that lots of people are still listening. His resurgence has come at the hands of worldwide media mogul Oprah Winfrey, who's given Bell a prominent position on a network and provided him with a new and massive platform that all of these detractors of his only wish they had. They would even sell their children if they could have the listenership that Rob Bell has now. And this has brought out the venom peddlers from the corporation once again. The same Christian people who treated him so horribly now act like he is abandoning them. It's all too funny. Bill's been doing something braver than most of the pastors overseeing churches in this country would ever do. Yet the same thing that so many in their congregations wish they would do. Because there are so many Christians out there who just wish to heavens that their pastor would be as disarmingly honest as this man Bill was. But you can't be disarmingly honest in Christianity. Why? Because anything you do that may be even remotely associated with challenging the status quo, sorry, you're out of here. We've got two religious menu options when it comes to orthodoxy, totality or heresy. You don't have any gray, you don't have any in between, all you've got is all in or all out. You toe the party line or you're not one of us. So much for love God and love each other. This is playing out in front of our eyes, Michael, and I don't know of anything that could be a better pictorial of the failures of a corrupt system to produce reality.
Definitely. The things that hold Christianity together, they are so flimsy. I remember Kate Benham wrote a song here, started in my living room, and she finished it later that night, called Paper Dragon. And it's a powerful song that might be a good one for us to play on the PowerCast, Bears. But she wrote that right here in my home, and that really is what's taken place. And if you step outside of the orthodoxy of Christianity, the dragon is going to be after you. But let me assure you, it's a paper dragon. They've definitely had an impact on my life, but not on my true life. They've taken nothing from me. Their criticisms have only served me well. They've served Rob Bell well. And which is always the way that these things start. When the truth is being attacked with criticism, the criticism becomes vitally important to bringing out the truth. And so don't be always too concerned about what people think about you. Those of you that are out there trying to share the gospel and the gospel revolution with others, we know what you've been through. Sometimes we talk about what Rob Bell's gone through and what I've gone through and Bears has gone through. But we know that this is not exclusively us. I've sat and talked with you guys about how your families have disowned you, shunned you, no longer invited to the major holidays or insignificant holidays even. Church family, so-called. That won't even give you a call anymore, that have walked across the street to walk down the other side of the street because you believe in a more loving God than what they do. Why that is threatening, I don't know. This is not going to just happen to Rob Bell. It's not just going to happen to me or anyone else that you see stick their nose out and stick their neck out into this and say, let's think about this a little differently. It's going to happen to you too. I don't care if you're just simply a member of the Primitive Baptist Church, and the Primitive Baptist Church only has 15 members. I guarantee you, if you ever start mentioning very basic concepts of the gospel, the very same thing that happened to Rob Bell, maybe on a different scale, but just equally as impacting, is going to happen to you. But don't shy away from the criticism, because inevitably the criticism is going to give you a platform from which to speak.
Let's have a listen to that song right now.
Paper dragon, so tall, swaying and shaking and full of nothing at all. Painted face, fearsome smile. You've been roaring so loudly while no one is even inside. I'm asking myself, why did I ever believe you were alive? You know, I'm asking myself. grass to feed. You tell the sheep they have a need, so they'll be mindlessly following and never questioning. 2,000 years of deceit, 'cause you've been scaring the world with your stature, clowning our day with your food, and filling our minds with your poison, preaching your message of doom. Paper dragon, oh, paper dragon. Well, get huff and puff, and I can hear the sound. It's you, old friend, coming down. It's all over, paper dragon. I'll see you on the ground. 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 I'll see you out. It's all over, paper dragon. Paper dragon, to exist, you rely on the ones that you enlist. Ironically, we're your ventriloquist, but now I've learned to think. It's got me wondering, why did we ever give a voice to something that's extinct? 'Cause you've been scaring the world with your stature, clowning our day with your gloom, and filling our minds with your poison, preaching your message of doom. Paper dragon, oh, paper dragon. Well, we are walking out, mission aboard. We're pulling out our life support. It's all over, paper dragon. I'll see you on the ground. 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 I'll see you out. It's all over, paper dragon. I'll see you on the ground. 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 I'll see you out. It's all over, paper dragon.
Wow, great words.
Yes. Such a powerful song. I was thinking about Kate this morning, and just a hole in my heart.
Now there's a girl who the gospel got a hold of her heart, and now she's off enjoying life.
Yes. I just wish she'd call now and then.
Man, you're not kidding. I think, Michael, the biggest thing that comes out of the story of Rob Bell, really, it's universal. It's not just limited to religion. It's not just limited to Christianity. Once any mindset gains the ascendancy, what we find is that it's a human nature to relegate everybody else to a position of a non-relevance at the very nicest, and at the very worst, let's kill them. Why should that be?
Well, Barris, of course, the conclusions of the gospel are so profound in the fact that you can't get away from the equality of each and every person on this earth. You can't get away from the spiritual equality, that we are absolutely one. There's none greater than the other. There's none less than the other. And in the absence of that, there is division. And where there is division, you will find fault. And when you find fault, you will find aggression. And when you find aggression, it depends on the route that it takes. But that aggression can go all the way from murder to shunning to harsh words or whatever. And, of course, this is the very roots of what we've been talking about over the last few months, and that's the issue of dualism.
Dualism. See, the moment you have holy people, now you have unholy people or heretics. The moment you have a holy war, and wasn't that America's and Germany's position? Didn't they both pray to God in their churches for their ideas of right to prevail? Once you've got a holy war, then you've got unholy soldiers as well as holy soldiers. That's dualism. That's two things instead of one. When you've got holy places, if a church is holy, a sanctuary is holy, a city is holy, as in Mecca or Jerusalem, Now you've got unholy pleasure. By definition, you cannot have a holy anything without having an unholy opposite or an unholy comparison or that which is not holy. So you have a holy people. Well, you must have unholy people. You have blasphemy. Well, you must have that which is not blasphemy. You have suffering which is glorified as being somehow above that of other people's. Well, you've got the opposite of that. If you have heaven, you have hell. It never stops. It just doesn't stop. If you have bibliolatry or book worship, the worship of the Bible, then worship of anything else becomes irrelevant. Doesn't matter whether or not the Bible makes sense or whether or not you have even researched the thought that the Bible makes sense. Nothing matters except that you have a guru in your sacred place with all of your sacred rules that you follow and everybody else is on the outside. You've now drawn a circle on the inside of which you are and on the outside of which everyone else is, and God obviously loves you more than he loves them because, well, they ain't holy.
Yeah, and you have found your place of peace, and anything that disrupts that peace, even if it's truth.
Especially truth.
Then it is evil. It is something you have to resist. Don't tell me the truth. I'm at peace.
Wow. And so it is that we must leave you, family and friends. Don't forget to visit www.theteacherwithin.com and order your copy of Touching Spirit, The Letters of Minaminiki. I'm an Amazon Prime user, and this book is the only, I mean, but the only five-star product I have ever seen on Amazon. I see plenty of four and a halves, but you never see a five-star product. This is in the top 1% of all book sales on Amazon and is without question the best book touching authentic spirituality I have ever read. Sorry, Michael. Don't forget that the two series that we recorded in Calgary a couple of weeks ago will be up for access very soon, and you cannot afford to miss these. We're going to let you know when they're available. They are the two views of the good news, or the two gospels that spread from the Bible outwards, and the history of heaven. Michael, give us one teaser from the history of heaven, just one.
One teaser from the history of heaven. No prophet ever spoke of a time when people would be in heaven.
Oh, that's just the prophets. What about Jesus? Now, Jesus is special. What did he say?
I could have told you that too, but you asked me just one thing.
Yeah, well, that's the only way I can shut you up.
Jesus never once, as much as he talked about salvation and the benefits of believing, Jesus never once said the result of that would be a life that is lived in heaven after you die. Not a single time.
Oh, you have the weakest teasers. I was thinking of another one which was so good. The people, guys, you're just going to have to listen to the series to get the one I'm talking about. We'll let you know when these two series are available. You know, a dollar a week is nothing. I mean nothing. But here at the Gospel Revolution, it can make all the difference for someone just like you who are starting their own journey towards thinking for themselves. If you want to make a change in somebody else's life at that place and you want to donate a dollar a week or a dollar a day, why don't you call our office on 321, area code 321-220-4373, and speak to Jeffrey Robertson about what you might be able to do. Or go to www.gospelrevolution.com and hit the donate link. You want to leave a message for Mike or a question for him to answer? Dial area code 234-564-0971 and leave a voicemail. You can find us on Facebook at Friends of Mike Williams and the Gospel Revolution. And thanks to Marcel Roos in the Netherlands, All the Gospel All the Time is being broadcast 24/7 at myradiostream.com/gospelrevolution. And now it's good night from myself, Beres Bartlett, from the GR Studios right here in Nashville, Tennessee.
And it's good night from Michael Williams here in Houston, Texas, where we are still in the middle of pledge drive. That's we've got another week to go, the rest of this week to go. So, guys, jump in, help us out. It has been a successful pledge drive so far. Help us make it even more successful. We are within inches of declaring the gospel revolution to be completely debt-free. And we're going to continue to have it that way once we get there. So help us. That's the only thing I know to say, help. We don't want to run around in debt all the time. I'm done with that. I'm done with that. We cannot do it anymore. And your support has made all the difference in the world. We are within inches of declaring the gospel revolution completely debt-free, and we appreciate it, folks.
Well, we hope you enjoyed today's PowerCast, but if you didn't, remember, just because you're offended does not mean you're right. So if you prefer learning how to think to being told what to think, join us again next week, same time, same channel, where we're going to do the same thing all over again.
Better.
There's got to be more than going back and forth, from doing right to doing wrong, because we were taught that's who we are. Well, come on, get in line right behind me, you along with everybody, thinking there's worth in what you do. Then like a hero takes the stage when we're on the edge of our seat, saying it's too late. Well, let me introduce you to amazing grace. No matter the bumps, no matter the bruises, no matter the scars, still the truth is a cross has made. Cross has made you flawless.
Cross has made you flawless.
No matter the hurt or how deep the wound is, no matter the pain, still the truth is a cross has made. The cross has made you flawless. Could it possibly be that we simply can't believe unconditional kind of love would be enough to take a filthy wretch like this and wrap him up in righteousness? But that's exactly what he did. No matter the bumps, no matter the bruises, no matter the scars, still the truth is a cross has made. The cross has made you flawless. Introduce you to grace, grace, God.